Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
James Grappando joins us. He's a best-selling novelist, also an attorney. His latest book is called Need You Now, and the much-in-the-news Ponzi scheme figures in the novel. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You must be an interesting person to have at a cocktail party. What do people want to
know? Especially I live in South Florida, so you know a lot of Madoff victims were right here in this area. Many of them recruited from Palm Beach Country Club. Not that I get to the Palm Beach Country Club very often myself, but this was one of his target areas.
Maybe to cut to the chase, I'm told that this is a novel, it's a work of fiction, but you explore the possibility, if I understand correctly, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, that in a scheme such as Madoff's, that was so huge, that the government could have been involved in it.
Well, involved in the sense that they ignored it. That theory kind of came to my head while I was actually involved in one of the first class actions brought against the some of Madoff's feeder funds in order to recover funds on behalf of Madoff's victims. I do still practice law, and so those cases were filed in January 2009, right after Madoff's fraud came to light. And the more I got into that, the more I realized how many red flags that the government had. And I kind of came to the conclusion that either you had to believe that the SEC and the other regulatory authorities were the Wall Street version of the Keystone Cops, or that somebody must have known, must have realized what a wide-scale fraud this was, and looked the other way. And that's sort of when I took off my hat as a lawyer and kind of switched over to the fiction and thought, well, if they knew, why wouldn't they do anything about it? And whose agenda would be advanced by ignoring a $60 billion Ponzi scheme? And how high up in the government might might that knowledge have spread?
And so who has the advantage? I mean, I realize this is probably a big part of your book. You don't want to give this away, in terms of the characters in your novel. But what good would it do somebody in the government to let this slide?
Well, that is sort of the underlying mystery in the story as to, how important of this would it have to be in order for someone to look the other way. Something that sort of reinforced my whole idea that it may go high up is that just recently the Securities and Exchange Commission did its own investigation into its conduct with respect to Madoff and how it missed the red flags, and it did miss a lot of red flags. Just to digress a little bit, I mean, there was one analysis that was done that showed that Madoff's performance over 12 years was the statistical equivalent of a baseball player batting .962 for 10 years in a row. You don't have to know a lot about baseball or a lot about investing to realize that's fantasy world. And how could the SEC have missed that? So then there were another of other red flags brought to their attention, and I think in November of 2011, the SEC finally reached its conclusions about what sort of disciplinary or other reprimands should be given to the people who were directly responsible for reviewing Madoff's performance and conduct, and concluded the worst sanction that they doled out was, I think, a 30-day suspension without pay to a very low-level employee. Which makes you wonder, I mean, in the largest fraud ever to hit Wall Street, and the biggest corrective action taken is a 30-day suspension without pay. So, again, putting on my hat, switching over from lawyer to fiction writer and Need You Now, I kind of thought, that just doesn't sound right. Who's being protected, and how high up in the government might this awareness of Madoff's activities gone?
Well, I'm pretty dense. You're not going to give away your book, but I mean, would it be that somebody like a powerful government official is one of the suckers here, and they just want to keep themselves whole until they can get out?
Well, that could be. That's one of the things. It's one of the great things about being a fiction writer. See, in this whole is that you can kind of run with these theories like this because, you know, I'm not giving anything away in the book by saying this much, is that in the opening scenes of Need You Now, my Madoff character, Abe Cushman, commits suicide. And the reason I did that is because in real life, Madoff might as well be dead in terms of what we're going to learn from him. He's, in my opinion, he's never going to tell anything, any of these secrets. And that's why I think Need You Now or a work of fiction is sort of a really interesting way to approach this this task of trying to get to the answers to these questions, because we're not going to get these answers. If anybody, you know, listening saw the 60 Minutes interview of Madoff's wife and son and so forth, there's not a whole lot of information forthcoming there.
No.
So if we are going to get to the answers to these questions, it's going to have to be outside Madoff himself, outside the family. And, you know, and I've kind of brought my own experience with the Madoff lawsuits on behalf of Madoff's victims and kind of turned it into what I think is an exciting story that offers some thought-provoking suggestions as to where the money might have gone.
James Grappando, attorney and novelist, author of the novel Need You Now. I don't know, and also I would almost tend to doubt that we have any or many people affected by Madoff directly up here, but we have had our own alleged Ponzi schemes, one involving a gentleman I know, name the names, but you know, it's in the, basically we're in the upstate New York in the Albany area. And what advice do you have about avoiding this kind of thing? And let me tell you what I learned from some other person. I was talking to this investment banker guy from the Boston area, and he said, well, you know, he said, I can't understand the Madoff thing. He said, because what you need to do is to have some other private accounting of your assets. And that sounded complicated to me. He said, I just mean something like Charles Schwab, you know, that you get statements from people like that that show you've got money or you don't have money.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to that, that analysis. And first, if you go back to Charles Ponzi himself, which Ponzi schemes are named after, you know, Ponzi schemes aren't sophisticated, complicated crimes. It's an outright fraud. It basically involves somebody taking in money from some investors and then paying his other investors with the money he takes in. There's no investment, actual investing going on. It's simply taking in money, paying it out from the people you take it in, and when that money, when that source of money dries up, the whole thing collapses. That's why they inevitably collapse. Charles Ponzi's scheme was easy to root out. And I think the first rule to give people is simply, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. And that is, Charles Ponzi promised a 50% return on your money in 90 days. Right away, you scratch your head and say, well, that sounds pretty fishy. The reason Madoff was so hard for people to detect is because he didn't offer that ridiculous kind of return. He offered a nice and slow and steady, you know, 12% return on your money, whether in good times or bad times, which is great, but it's not astronomical and makes you immediately think, well, the guy's a fraud. You know, but so that's what made him very hard to root out. So, you know, you really do have to do your homework a little bit and not necessarily rely on someone's performance record of 20 years. Ask the right questions. Nobody really asked the right questions about Madoff. Everyone seemed to be happy that he was, you know, working in quietly in his room and making up these figures and, gee, cashing their check, 12%, very nice. When, as I said, you know, somewhere in this story, if you looked at his performance record over 20 years, it was a batting average of .962. That should make you scratch your head.
Now, is your title, Need You Now, related to the Lady Antebellum song?
That was, you know, that's kind of a sad part of the whole writing process, is that was actually one of my sister's favorite songs, and she passed away while I was writing this book, and I was looking for a title, and that was kind of the way I felt about her. When we lost her, you know, Need You Now, and it's kind of on a lot of levels. It works within the story. When you read the story, you'll see it, but it definitely is an allusion to the song too.
Because what I was thinking about when I first just saw the words "Need You Now," that this would be the schemer calling. I need you now. You know, you got to just give me a little more money or something like that.
It can work on a lot of levels, definitely. Yeah.
Well, James Grappando, I thank you very much for joining us on WVTL-FM. Need You Now is the name of the book. It's out there now. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.